Today's daf is Baba Basra daf Pei Beis, a little bit of a shorter shiur today. It's okay, it's a pretty short daf. We left off in daf Pei Aleph Amid Beis. We were in the middle of discussing what happens, why it is that sometimes you may be Bikurim, but Eino Kore. You're going to bring Bikurim, but you're not going to read the parsha of Bikurim. So the Gemara suggests, maybe when you, according to our Meir, when you buy Ilan Echad, and according to the Rabbanon, when you buy Shnei Ilanos, the reason you may be Eino Kore is very simply that that Tzvukei Misafkalahu, that in these situations, these Tanaim held that it's a Safek, whether you chayev in Bikurim or not. So Misafek, you bring it, but you're not going to be Kari the Parsha Misafek. So the Gemara was discussing if that's possible, if it's possible that there's a way to behave when you have a Safek, whether something's Bikurim or not. Can you, in fact, bring it? Because after all, aren't you ignoring the mitzvah of Truma, and aren't you ignoring the mitzvah of Maisarishon and Maisarani? So the Gemara worked around all of those issues. What you do, meaning if it's Bikurim, so it's Pada from all those things. If it's not Bikurim, it's chayev in all those things. So the Gemara worked around all of those issues. Then finally the Gemara says, wait a second, but if it's Bikurim, you need to do the Kriya. You need to be Kore the Parsha. So answers the Gemara, Kriya lo ma'akeves. Nah, you don't really. It's lechatchila, you should, but it's not ma'akev if you don't do the Kriya. So we left off right at that spot, six lines before the end of the page on Pei Aleph and Beis. So says the Gemara, velo, Kriya is really not ma'akeves. Don't we have a rule that even when something is not ma'akev, that at least you should, it needs to be ra'oi for it. You need to be able to do it. The example given is bila. When it comes to the Karban Mincha, there's a certain proportion of flour to oil, and the proportion is done in such a way that all of the flour should be able to be mixed in really well with the oil. That's how we portion out the flour and the oil. Now, la halacha, it's great if you do the bila, if you actually mix all the flour and the oil together, but it's still kosher if you don't do the bila. But if you don't even have enough oil to possibly get absorbed with all the flour, to possibly affect all of the flour, then it's called Eino Ra'ui Labila. And if it's not even Ra'ui Labila, even though you don't actually have to do the Bila, if it's not even Ra'ui Labila, then it's not going to be kosher, it's not going to be good. So the Gemara is suggesting the same thing over here. It's one thing if you bring Bikurim regular, and you know you're chayiv to bring the Bikurim, and you forget to do the Kriya Saparsha, you don't do the Kriya, the Mikra Bikurim. So fine, so you didn't do it. So it's not Ma'akev. But we're talking about a situation where you're not even sure whether it's Bikurim, and therefore, because you're not sure, you're unable to read the Parsha. It's not even Ra'ui to read the Parsha. The Gemara is going to have two possible explanations of why you're unable to, meaning, after all, why not? Just read the words. It's just saying words. Why can't you read the words? The Gemara is going to explain that, but for whatever reason, we're assuming that you're unable to read the Parsha, so then it is Ma'akev. It's Ma'akev that you be able to read the Parsha. If you look at the Rashbam, very important Rashbam, explaining the concept of Kalaroi Labila. First he gives the background from Maseches Menachos, and then about 7-8 lines into the Rashbam, in Dibur Maskel Kalaroi Labila, he says, Kalomar, Mashi'i Efshali Hibal El Ma'akeves Po. Dikivin Dechsev Yitzhak Ala Shemen Vitziva Livlal Dechsev Belula, since it says you need to put oil on it, and you need to do a Belila, Shema Minash Yitziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lavi Mincha Sheyachal Lekayim Behen Mitzvahs Belila. We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command is to bring the Karban Mincha in a proportion that you're able to do the mitzvah of Belila. Granted, Belila itself is a mitzvah min HaMuvchar, is not absolutely required, but the definition of what's a kosher karban is one that you're able to do the mitzvahs b'lilah. K'shu mevi shishim ve'echad, and if you bring 61 measures of flour, which can't possibly get absorbed, mixed in with the oil properly, mincha kazu lo tziva lahavi. That's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to bring a certain type of karban mincha, and that's not it. Vareu kamevi mincha min akitnius. He says it's like making up your own religion. You decide, I'm going to bring a mincha out of beans. You can't bring a mincha out of beans. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are two types of karma. There's mincha out of chitim, and there's mincha out of, every once in a while, right? Mincha sota, right? There's mincha out of sa'orim in Beshvus, but other than that, there's mincha out of, and even then, it's always out of grain. We don't bring a karma mincha with beans, right? So you can't make up just your own, I decide that I'm going to bring this on the Mizbech. No, you can't bring whatever you want on the Mizbech. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. So he says, when you change the proportions in such a way that you're bringing the wrong ingredients, the wrong proportion of ingredients, so you're making up your own religion. That's not the mitzvah at all. The Eina Klum, that's worthless. She called Davar Shetzivak Rosh Baruch Hu Lahavi, Yesh Ikuv B'Ikur Hava Asu Lahavi Ba'osu Yin Shetzivak Hasu L'Bedin Acher. Right, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a mitzvah to do, it has to be done in the way that He told us to do it. Otherwise, it's not the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval mitzvah samurus be'osa mitzvah, but details within that given mitzvah, kigon tenuf b'karban, belila b'mincha, like waving the parts of the karban, or like doing the belila and the karban mincha, so yesh shema akvin imgila hakasav l'shanos salav l'akiv, v'yeshein ma'akvin. Then, sometimes the Torah tells us when there are details within a mitzvah, sometimes the Torah will indicate to us that it is ma'akiv, if the Torah mentions it twice, if it doubles up, in order to indicate to us that it's ma'akev, and sometimes the Torah will indicate to us that it's not ma'akev. So that there's no steadfast rule for. But in terms of the actual mitzvah itself, we certainly can't make up our own ingredients. So that's the svara that Rashbam says for kalarei lebila. Shagazariyeh has a tshuva, but the Shagazariyeh suggests something different. Shagazariyeh suggests that the svara for kalarei lebila is not simply that it's not the ingredients of the mitzvah, it's not the ingredients of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked for, but rather he says, if you do belila, that's the mitzvah min amuvchar. This is where Rav Shechter used to say it over. If you do belila, that's the mitzvah min amuvchar. If you don't do belila, but you have roi lebila, that's mitzvah shalom min amuvchar. That's a lower level kiyum mitzvah. If you don't even have roi lebila, it is so shalom min amuvchar, Rav Shechter used to say, the mitzvah dies of malnutrition. It's mamish, you have so little of a remnant of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants left, that it's too far gone to be from the level of the mitzvah min amuvchar to even be considered a mitzvah at all. Now, what's the nafkamina between that way of saying it and the way the Rashbam says it, where he says it's just the ingredients of the mitzvah? So the nafkamina would be, can you say kalarei lebila by a matir, or only by a mitzvah? Meaning by a matir, what's a matir? When you shecht an animal, so it may be that there's a mitzvah of shechita, but more fundamentally, the animal was usher before, and now it's mutter. You were matir that animal to be able to be eaten. It may be that there's a mitzvah of tevila bizmana mitzvah, maybe when a woman has the ability to go to the mikvah at the right time, to go at that time is a mitzvah, but more fundamentally, tevila is a matir. Prior to that, she was a sura labayla, not just a mitahir, right? Tevila nowadays, Hilchas Nida nowadays is not a din in Tum and Tahara, it's the Kuzari writes, Rav Vengel has a whole essay on, it's not only a din in Tum and Tahara, or not at all a din really in Tum and Tahara, because we don't keep Tum and Tahara anymore. It's Isra Vahetar, it's Heter Labayla, it's to make her mutter to her husband. So she goes to the mikveh, it's a matir for her husband. Now generally speaking, when something is mutter, it's mutter. Meaning there's no l'charchil dika way to make something mutter and b'diavad way to make something. If it's mutter, if there's no iser, so there's no iser. Right, when you talk about a mitzvah, so then by a mitzvah it's shaykh to say a mitzvah min amuvchar, a mitzvah shalom min amuvchar, the best way to do a mitzvah, the second best way to do a mitzvah. Right, but when it comes to a matir, what do you mean, the second best way to do a matir? It's mutter. Bottom line is mutter, so what's there to talk about? Now the Gemara does apply kolorei lebila and bila makevispo to tevila, so that would either lead you to believe that the Rashbam is correct and not the Shagazariyeh in terms of mitzvah min amuvchar, because it doesn't make sense to say mitzvah min amuvchar by a matir, or that the Gemara is specifically talking about tevila, which is a mitzvah, right? Like tevila bizman a mitzvah, in which case kolorei lebila is operative, and if it's going to be operative by tevila that is a mitzvah, so it's sort of a low plug d'orai, so it's going to be operative by even tevila that's not a mitzvah. But that's the way you would probably have to say it. The application to tevila, what do you mean kolorei lebila by tevila? What's the application? That's the most halach lemaisa application of kolorei lebila. The application is that halachically there are three parts of a person's body when it comes to going to the mikveh. When it comes to mentara also, but when it comes to going to the mikveh, there are three parts of a person's body. There's what's called galui, there's what's revealed, meaning if a person's not wearing any clothing, whichever part of their body is exposed and is constantly visible, that would be galui, and that part of the body needs water to touch it. You can't have any sort of chatzitza, the water must touch that part of the body. Then on the other extreme, you have what we call balua. Let's say a person has a pacemaker, right? So you can say you have to take out the pacemaker to go to the mikvah, or the tefillah is not going to be kosher because it's chatzitza. They have stitches on an internal organ, so the stitches are going to be chatzitza. No, certainly not. When it's balua, when it's completely inside the body, in a part of the body that's never ever visible, so then it's called balua. You don't need to have even ro'i l'biyasmaim. You don't need anything, and tumah doesn't transfer to something that's balua. And then you have something in between. You have parts of the body that are sometimes exposed, sometimes not exposed. Like inside the eyes, we can close our eyes, and then the eyes are not exposed. We open our eyes, they are exposed. The inside of the mouth, the bottom of the nose, the inside of the ears, things like that, right? Parts of the body, folds in the body, right? There are things like that. Those are called beis hastarim. And beis hastarim is the in-between area where the Gemara says you don't need actual bias ma'im. A woman doesn't have to open her mouth when she goes to the mikvah, but you need it to be royal bias ma'im. You can't have a chatzitza in those areas. That's why women brush their teeth before they go to the mikvah, to make sure that there are no chatzitzos in their mouth before they go to the mikvah. Because that's you don't need again bias ma'im itself, but you need at least that it should be royal bias ma'im. That's the application. Rav Moshe holds that there's a chilik. Rav Moshe has a phenomenal chiddush that there's a chilik between the beis starim and galui in regards to the halachos, that in regards to what's considered a chatzitza. Rav Moshe writes that there are two types of chatzitza in general. One type of chatzitza is where something is stuck, that it's mamish stuck on. Another type of chatzitza where it's not stuck, it's just blocking. It's just there, but it could just easily be removed. It's just blocking. So it would be like if you have glue on the hands or something very sticky, a sticky substance on you, that would be the first type of chatzitza. Another type of chatzitza would be you just have a gauze, you know, that's on your skin. So you just pick it up and it's off, right? So that Rav Moshe says that although both types of chatzitzos are ma'akev, when you're talking about galoi, when you're talking about, let's say, on your hand, when you're talking about inside your mouth or inside your ears, both are not ma'akev. Only one of them is going to be ma'akev the tevila. Only one of them is going to be a problem. And that is only if it's something that's actually stuck. So that's where Moshe was makel with, let's say, contact lenses. They're just placed there. They're blocking, but you can take them right off. So even though the chachila, we try not to have any chatzitzas and try to take out the contact lens, if a woman went to the mikvah with her contact lenses in, so then it's going to be kosher. I believe Rav Moshe's Iker Tshuva wasn't about contact lenses. It was about, he has one about contact lenses also, but I think it was about sticking cotton in the ears because she couldn't get water in her ears. So having cotton ball in the ear. So he said that's not stuck. It's just something that can easily be removed. So he held that it's not a problem in the base of stardom. But anyway, this is the long and short of Kolorei Labila and Bila Ma'akevespo. Just very quickly, the Ritva says, wait, why do we consider the Bikurim in our case to be Eino Roy Labila? No, the only reason it's Eino Roy is because we're Mesupak, is because we're not sure whether it's Bikurim or not. But if it is Bikurim, it's Vadai Roy Lakriya. Right? And if it's not Bikurim, so then there's nothing to talk about. But if it is Bikurim, it's Vadai Roy Lakriya. So he says, no, since at the end of the day, you're unable to read, so if it is Bikurim, and you know right now that you're unable to read, so that's called Eino Ra'i Lakriya, which means, Shagasari points out in Simon Lamed Aleph, you see that Eino Ra'i, because of a suffix, is considered Eino Ra'i. It doesn't have to be Eino Ra'i Ba'atzmo, even if it's only Eino Ra'i as a result of a suffix, it's called Eino Ra'i. The Gidule Shmuel asks from the Gemara in Yevamos Mem Aleph, where it says that if you're Makadesh, one of two achios, and you don't know which of the two sisters you're makadesh, so they need chalitza, not yibum. And he asks, why do you need chalitza? Normally the halacha is anything that's not ro'i li yibum is not ro'i li chalitza. So what do you have to say over there? No, over there you're makadesh someone. So whoever it is that you are makadesh is ro'i li yibum and chalitza. It's just that since you don't know which girl you were makadesh, so therefore it's a suffix, and therefore we're going to say that it's not ro'i to do, you can't actually do the yibum. But it's only a suffix. But wait a second, so you see over there that when you consider something a suffix, you consider that to be ro'i. Right, we say that she's right enough for Yibum because we're not sure. The only reason we know to Yibum is because of a suffix, and therefore that's enough right Yibum to allow us to do Chalitza. And over here when we say that the Bikurim is a suffix, we say, that's Eino Ra'i L'Kriya. What do you mean? It's only Mishum suffix. So he's metarit that there's a difference between a suffix and Metzius, like by the Yibum case, you don't know which one you were Mekadesh, versus a suffix in Halacha, like in our case. In our case of Bikurim, you bought one tree, according to our Meir, two trees, according to the Chamim, you don't know if you own the land, if you're Chayiv in Bikurim, as a result of that. So since it's a suffix in Halacha, that's what we're going to say, such a suffix would make it eino ra'ui. The fact that you're not reading because of the suffix would make it eino ra'ui. But by chalitza, the suffix is a suffix of mitzius, and therefore it would be considered ra'ui. Okay, says the Gemara, back in the Gemara now. Okay, good. So we said, so over here, shouldn't you not be allowed to bring the bikurim in the first place because you're unable to be kari the bikurim? Says the Gemara, you did like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, dam or batzer and v'shigrim b'yad shliach. If you harvest the produce and give it the fruit and you give it, send it with a shliach, umay shliach b'derech, and the shliach dies on the way, mevi ve'eino karei. So he does the avas bikurim, but he doesn't do the kriyas bikurim. My time, why? Tichsiv, because pasuk says v'lakachta ve'hevesa ad shetehei l'kicha v'havaa be'echad. Till you have the lekicha nava done by the same person, v'haleka, and you don't have that over here. So it says Rashbam at the bottom, hilka checha debatzuniyu v'ashliach ivian lavi lekicha vava be'echad al b'shnayim v'chein hecha demis b'derech lavi lekicha ugmar vava be'echad. Right, that when it's done by two separate people, then there's no chiyuv of kriya. So what do? You make it in such a way, you do the bikurim in such a way where you send it through shliach, where you do the betzira, send it to shliach, or you send the shliach and then you take over for him halfway from the shliach, in which case it's not shaykh to do the mikra bikurim. So don't tell me that I call a rayla bilabil makavzbo, shen rayla bilabil makavzbo. Just create a situation where anyway it's not going to be chayv in the mikra bikurim. So if you create a situation where anyway it's not chayv in the mikra bikurim, so then you're okay. Then you could do the hava in a way where there's no kriya and you'll solve all the problems. So frek the Gemara, amrle ravacha bereder of avyal ravashi, michti. Psukim in who likri. He says, wait a second. What are we talking about over here already? We're talking about psukim. So just read the psukim. What do you mean? Because you have a suffix whether you're supposed to read the psukim, you're not allowed to read the psukim. Because you have a suffix whether these are bikurim, you're not allowed to read the parshas of bikurim. What? So if you're up to that in your seder halimud and chumash, so you're not allowed to learn it that day. What do you mean? Who make it see that you have a limitation that you're not allowed to read psukim? So answers the Gemara, Amalei Mishum Demechzik Shikri, says, yeah, you're not allowed to read the Pesukim because it looks like you're lying. And it says, Rosh Bramshar, Bishvil Avas Bikurim Kakari, because it's very evident from context that you're reading it as a result because of Havas Bikurim and not Stam because you want to learn Chumash. If you're reading it in a base medrash somewhere, fine. But here you are with baskets of fruit, and you just went through the whole Bikurim parade, and you're at the base of Mikdash by the Mizbeach, and you're doing the parsha, the Kriyas of Bikurim. That makes it look like you're not doing this because stop, you want to learn Chumash. It sounds like you're doing it because this is the Mikra Bikurim. You hold this is the Mikra Bikurim. And that looks like Sheker. It's interesting. Rashbam quotes, V'shem alav b'karka shalog, adlov kam shaker, uksiv, and he quotes a pasuk, V'dover shkarim lo yikon l'neged einai. Interesting that he quotes that pasuk. What about midvar sheker tirchak? Why does he... Dover shkarim lo yikon l'neged einai. Apparently, just a thought. Perhaps Rashbam is saying that although sheker is always a problem, when you're dafke in the mikdash, and you're right in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a double problem of sheker. There's a general problem of ben adam la'atzmo, that you're supposed to be an emes-tik person, and mahu emes, afata emes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes, and part of halach t'bidrachav is being an emes-tik person, and then they're speaking sheker in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right in front of the makom, right in the makom mikdash, where it's a greater violation, right? And that's why he quotes the pasuk liyikol l'neged einai, that it's dafkul l'neged einai, where the isser is going to be an even greater isser, where we have to be even more careful about being dover shkarim, about speaking sheker, which is an interesting idea. Meaning maybe there should be a greater isser of speaking sheker in the shul than there would be in speaking sheker in the street. It's asr in both places, but maybe a greater isser. So that's one. Rav Shash Bei Rav Chia Amar, Dilma Asilafku Inu Mitruma Meiser. Says, no, the concern is that if you go and you read the Parshas Bikurim, people are going to think it's Bikurim Badai, and then it's not going to, people are going to assume that it's not Chayiv in Trumas Meisros. Who's going to assume it's not Chayiv in Trumas Meisros? So says Rosh Bam, two possibilities. Either Man Dechazi Dekari Alayu Ki Bikurim Vadayim, someone who sees that you read the Parsha as if it were Bikurim Vadayim, Kishayu Lo Bikurim Ki Ilu Lo Yafresh Me'en Truma Dekstavar Bikurim Vadayim Hein, when the person who sees, when he has bikurim like these, he's not going to be mafresh truma because he's going to say, oh, bikurim like this, where you own one tree or two trees, is bikurim vada. You don't have to take truma semaisvos because he's going to see you did the bikurim in the normal way. So you have to do something that's recognizable that it's not normal bikurim so that the onlooker will know that it's really a safek. inami hay gavr gufei hilkach avud b'hu akir shelo likros. Or it's not the concern of the onlooker. He doesn't know how many trees you brought these fruits from. He just sees you bring fruits to the mizbeach. What does he know about that you own two trees or one tree or three trees? He doesn't know any of that. He just knows that you have fruits. So there's no concern of that. The concern is you yourself, that you're going to be doing the bikurim in the normal fashion. You're going to say, ah, it's really bikurim. I don't need to give chumas and maizos from it. So in order to make you recognize, to make the person who's bringing the bikurim recognize that it's not regular bikurim, we need to do something different to make it evident that it's not regular bikurim. It's interesting, this question of the Gemara, what do you lose by just reading the parsha, the Gemara asks? I'll tell you what you lose. Why doesn't the Gemara say that you lose? I didn't see anyone discuss this, but there is a halacha, dvarim shebichsav yata rashi lomar bal peh, that you're not allowed to say the parsha of mikra bikurim bal peh if it's just reading from Chumash. If you're reading it b'toras chiyuv, as the chiyuv of the parshas bikurim, then you're allowed to say it bal peh. Right? That's Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos says that although there is this rule, Dvarim Shebichsav V'yata Rashi Lomar Bal Peh, there's an exception to the rule, and that is whenever it's some other mitzvah being fulfilled through the kriya. Whenever you're doing some other mitzvah through the reading of those psukim, then you're allowed to say it bal peh. L'mashal, Rabbeinu Yonah says, karbanos in the morning. It's a bunch of psukim. We're just reading the psukim of Karbanos. But you don't have to do Kriya Mitoch HaKsav because you're fulfilling the Nushalma Parms Faseinu, the Hava'as HaKarbanos, by reading them. We fulfill bringing those Karbanos through the reading. So it's another mitzvah that's being fulfilled through the reading of those Karbanos. Mainly you don't need to read it Mitoch HaKsav. Kriya Shema, you're allowed to say by heart. Why are you allowed to say it by heart? Again, because there's some other mitzvah that's being fulfilled. So the Chariq say the same thing about Bikurim. That would be a major nafkamina. That if you're really chayiv in Mikra Bikurim, so then you're even allowed to read it by heart. But if you're not chayiv in Mikra Bikurim, it's only misafek, right? So you can't just say, read it anyway. What do you mean? Then you would need to read it mitoch haksav if you can read it anyway. So maybe the Gemara is assuming that you are reading it mitoch haksav. Maybe that's part of the Gemara's question. The Gemara is saying, it's only psukim anyway. Just read it mitoch haksav, and that way you'll have fulfilled you'll have played it safe. And to that, the Gemara has the two answers. Okay, higdilu lo yishva. So we said that if it grows, if you buy trees in someone else's property and the trees grow, the Mishnah had said that you shouldn't cut down, the balakarka should not cut down the overgrowth of the tree. Meaning, after all, the balakarka will say the shade that the trees are providing is damaging to my field, so he might want to cut it down. So he said not to. So he said, just to get back in the Mishnah said that which comes out of the geza shelo and minash Rashim, that which grows out of the stump and out of the roots, belongs to the Bal HaKarka, not to the Bal HaIlan. So, Frank Gemara, what does it mean, Min HaGeza, and what does it mean, Min HaShrashim? So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Shara Pnei Chama Zeu Min HaGeza. Anything that's above ground, that sees the sun, that's called Min HaGeza. V'Shein Ro Pnei Chama Zeu Min HaShrashim. Anything underground, that's called Min HaShrashim. I velechosh dilma maska ara sirton vamele tfasa zvinasli veisli ara. But shouldn't we be worried that from the ground it's going to grow to look like it's three trees, and the guy's going to say, look, you sold me three trees, and therefore I definitely own the land as well, because when you buy three trees you own the land as well, right? Says Rashbam, leichos zimnin demaska kimin damrit min hageza haynu kol shorah pnei acham v'afilu samach lekarka harei shel bali ilan. Since you say that which comes from the geza belongs to the bali ilan, how could Rabban make a takana that's clearly going to lead to a loss for the mocher? Sometimes you'll really only own one tree in your friend's field. And the Rabban will say, yeah, whatever grows out of the geza belongs to you. And what's going to happen? The ground level is going to rise. Dirt will pile up in certain areas, and that which came out from the geza is now going to be covered, and it's going to look like a separate tree that's coming out. It's going to look like you have three trees there. And if it looks like you have three trees there, you're going to say, look, I own three trees. If I own three trees, I must also own karka. So you're going to be able to lie and to be able to get land out of the guy. How could the Rabban make such a takana? Elam Rav Nachman Yakutz. Rav Nachman says, no, you cut it down. The issue is not whether you cut it down. The question is, once you cut it down, who does it go to? Who does the wood go to? Does it go to the Bali Ilan Balakarka? When we say that the Bali Ilan gets to keep it, it only means he gets to keep it after it's cut. But you certainly don't leave it there growing. V'chinam Rav Yochanan, Yakutz. Am Rav Nachman, v'chinam Dekel ein lo geza. We say the Dekel doesn't have any geza. Sav Rav Zvid the Meimar, ein lo geza the Bal Dekel, t'kivin to the Michbar l'sharish kaya suchi masach daite. So we thought that means that the geza doesn't go to the owner of the Dekel, because since it's there the normal usage of it is to go and to dig after it and to take out all the roots, so the guy never has a havamina that he's going to get the geza, and therefore he's masiach das completely from the geza, and that's why he doesn't get it. Says Rashbam, asuchim asuchdaite bal hadekel mina asul datzeis mina geza. He's totally masiach das from anything that's going to come from the geza. The savor who shami yivash hadekel meherav loyotzi geza. He says, well, who knows? Maybe the tree will dry up really quickly and there's not going to be any geza. The lo dami l'shari lan. It's not like other trees where if they dry, you cut them down a little bit and then they grow back again. Shari gizan machlif, where the geza is able to grow back. But a dekel is not so. A dekel, once it's cut down, the geza doesn't grow back. So you certainly don't have das for the geza. What about when you're kodesh shnei ilanos? We assume that it's meant to be uprooted eventually, and that it's not there. It's not yours to keep there forever because you don't own the karka. And still, we say you do get the geza. So don't tell me that anytime you plan on taking out the shrashim, that you're masiach das from the geza. We see when you buy two ilanos, you're not masiach das from the geza. Elam Rav Papa in lo geza the bal dekel fisha in motzi geza. When we said that bal dekel doesn't get the geza, it doesn't mean that is Masiach Das from it. It means that it doesn't grow anything. There's no geza that comes out from it. And that, and it's not because he assumes that the tree is going to be uprooted and therefore he's Masiach Das from the geza. No, he's Masiach Das from the geza because it's unusual for any geza to ever grow from it. That's what means he's Masiach Das. L'razvid kasha masnisin. According to Zvid, isn't our Mishnah problem? So the Zavon the Chameshinin. Now we're talking about a case where he sold it for a period, right? Zvid, who holds that it is Motzi Geza, it's a problem with our Mishnah that says that because our Mishnah is talking about all Ilanos that are Motzi Geza. So he said, no, we're talking about a case where he sold it for 5 years, where even if it dies within that time, you're allowed to plant another tree. So according to Rav Zvid, then all bets would be off, because the whole idea is that you're Masiach Das because you know that you could never plant another tree there, that it's done. But if we're talking about where you have 5 year rights to the land, so you're able to plant another tree. Okay, Kanesh Tosha Kana Karka. We said if you buy three trees, then you acquire Karka along with the trees. Vikama. How much karka, how much space in between the trees do you get? You have enough space around each tree, the amount of space that it takes to walk around as you're going to pick the fruits from the outer branches of the tree and hold your basket. You have that whole path around the tree. Wait a second, you buy a tree, you don't even have the right to walk to the tree in somebody else's property. You have to buy that right, or fly to the tree. So you don't even get a derech to get to the tree. And yet we're going to say that the area around the tree of Lo Or V'Salo you do have. So it's not a derech in Lo Da'ar Achritihu. Or V'Salo Yeshlo. Derech you don't have because it's a different land. Or V'Salo is part of the tree, so that you do have. Amar Abzir, Midiv Rabbeinu Nilman, what we see from this is the following. Shlosha Hu De'in Lo Derech. Hashnayim Yeshlo, that if you buy three trees, you don't have a derech. But if you buy two, then you do have a derech. Because you can say, look, my trees are in your land. Obviously, you were mishabed your land for the usage of my trees. Part of the usage of my trees is to walk to the trees. When I buy three trees, so my trees are in my land, because the land comes along with it. So I can't say that you're mishabed your land to allow me to walk to the tree. Adrabi, you never gave me any land. I own the land where the trees are. You never gave me the rights to walk in your land. But when there's only two trees, so I don't own, the person who owns the trees does not own any land. Obviously, the person who owns the land is Meshabit his land to the trees. Once he's Meshabit his land to the trees, we assume he's Meshabit all of his land to the trees, the space that it takes to walk to the trees as well. Should we say that Rav Elazar disagrees with his own Rebbe Shmuel? Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva, who says that when you sell by Ein Yafin, normally that means that includes even a derech. Amalei lami tukum asnis in Rabbi Akiva. He says, no, the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Akiva. Mimai, midiktani higdilu yashva. From the fact that it says that if it grows, you cut it down. V'yisal kadej Rabbi Akiva hi, and my yashva. Hamar mocha, b'ayin yafa mocha, according to Rabbi Akiva, you shouldn't be allowed to cut down the extra growth that's coming out of it, because when you're mocher, it's always b'ayin yafa. Amalei, emer, damar Rabbi Akiva, gabi barva dustula machshiara, gabi ilan mishamatai. No, where do we find that Rabbi Akiva holds that it's b'ayin yafa? That's by a bar vidus, where it's not going to weaken the land at all. But by an ilan, maybe where it will hurt the land, so maybe Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold that it's... that it's ba'ayin yafe. Mila modin Rabbi Akiva bi'ilan anota l'toch stei chavero shekotzeitz melo mardeya me'al gabi mechrisha. After all, doesn't Rabbi Akiva say that if you have a tree that leans over into your friend's field, that you're allowed to cut down certain branches from that are ma'akev the plow from getting through? So you see, it's not always ba'ayin yafe. Tiny kavasid Rabbi Akiva baraba hareza kana takteinu b'neim chutzal and kamla or v'salo. We have a brisa that supports this idea that you're kona the area around it kamla or v'salo. Amalei Abayi l'Rav Yosef, also an Orv Esalo, mi Zoran. Who gets to plant in that area? Amalei Tenisua, chitzon zareas haderech. We already learned that the guy on the outside plants the derech. Amalei mi dami, hasam leslei psei de lokech. Over there, the lokech doesn't lose anything by that. Avlach islei psei de lokech. But over here, there is a loss to the lokech when it's planted. Amalei kamit v'nevi piri. He says, if you plant vegetables on that area, right around the tree, my fruits are going to get ruined when they fall down. So it's a pseida to me for you to plant there. So says, rather, we have to say that neither of them is allowed to plant in that area, because you have to keep it wide open so that it could be available for the person to pick his fruits from the tree. Okay, tomorrow we'll pick up with Tanya Kavasei, 7 lines before the lines get wide.